Pollinator Project in the Rogue Valley has a program called Pollinator Pals. It connects students throughout the Rogue Valley with the native plants and pollinators in the Southern Oregon bioregion. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Joining me on the exchange is Christina Lefevre, president of the Pollinator Project. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Ethan Robison, Pollinator Pals coordinator. Welcome to the exchange.
Thanks, Mike.
So, Christina, let's start with, what is the Pollinator Project?
The Pollinator Project is a growing nonprofit. We're based in Phoenix, Oregon, right there on Main Street. And we have a number of programs and educational resources. We have a nursery, a propagation nursery. We have a demonstration garden. Because what we're doing is educating and engaging people so that they can learn how they can help our Southern Oregon bioregion become more strong and resilient by understanding more about our native plants and the pollinators that support them.
When you say pollinators, talk more about that.
Yep, that's a really great question. I could talk all day on this, so I'll try not to. But when most people think of pollinators, they think of honeybees because that's part of our psyche. We grew up with Winnie the Pooh. But there are so many, especially here in this diverse ecosystem here in Southern Oregon. We're so lucky to live here. There are so many. The native bees, just in Oregon alone, we have almost 800 species of native bees or bees. That includes the honeybee. And then we also have butterflies and moths. And then we have beetles. We have pollinating flies, the hummingbird. I think I'm missing wasps. Did I get them all? So even wasps can be pollinators. There are many, many species of wasps, not just the yellow jacket. So think bigger than yellow jacket when you hear the word wasp. So we're really educating people about those creatures that they may not even recognize and then how important they are for this Southern Oregon region because this is where we live. We don't live in Georgia or Asia or anywhere else.
So the wasps make homes underneath my awnings.
Those are paper wasps. Those are not yellow jackets, generally speaking. They have the little, we're getting way off topic, but yes, those are paper wasps. I love the paper wasps. They are not aggressive, believe me. I've had a couple of run-ins and they never stung me. They're really great. They're bird food in the fall, but that's, we could talk all day about that.
I'll take your word for it. So Ethan, talk about your work at the Pollinator Project and how do you get students interested in the science behind pollination?
So pollinators are such a really exciting topic to get kids engaged with because it connects to biodiversity. It connects to the wider ecosystem. Kids can immediately look at a pollinating insect like a bee or a wasp or a beetle and say, okay, my food that I had for breakfast needs that bug. What else does that bug need? And it just opens the door to the wider ecosystem. So you ask, how do I get kids connected? I just show them that they are already connected. I show them that they are a part of this ecosystem, and not only do they depend on it, but in a lot of ways, it depends on them.
So, Christina, if I say ecology and conservation to my kids, mm-hmm. I can sense the curtain of boredom mm-hmm. starting to drop. Mm-hmm. But if I say, hey, look at this bug, mm-hmm. they come running.
Yep, that's
so
awesome.
How do you teach kids in accordance with Oregon science standards mm-hmm. without using those dreaded words of doom?
Yeah, it's a good question. Ethan can probably answer that. We have an amazing education committee, teachers, retired and current. And so that is one of the things that they look at is the science standards and getting the kids engaged. So Ethan can talk more about it, but just think about it. Okay, how long will this garden bed be? Well, you have to figure out what that math is to make it. You know, so what else would you say about that?
So I think that ecology and biodiversity and ecosystems, they can definitely be buzzwords for some people, but to a lot of kids, you're definitely right. They can kind of go, okay, this is just that nature-y science talk that we hear a lot of the time. But what really works for this region is there are a lot of exciting and interesting ecosystem interactions, a lot of exciting pollinators that do genuinely weird things. You have these bright red bees that will lay their eggs in the nests of other insects called cuckoo bees. You have parasitoids that will lay their eggs in other insects. You have pollinators that are able to vibrate at a specific frequency to unlock the door to certain flowers. So you have these elements that you can tell kids, and they've never heard them. So it's this bit of unknown, exciting information that then you can go outside and show them. You can take a kid outside and say, okay, listen to this bumblebee. And you can see this exciting interaction that you had never heard of before happening right in front of you. And I love that about working here in Southern Oregon.
Well, I think I saw a movie like that, Alien, where the thing comes out of the guy's stomach.
Exactly. It's genuinely gross, and yes, kids love is. That.
So talk about some of the activities and lessons in the Pollinator mm-hmm. Pals program.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just developed a module, a series of lessons that can be used by the Rogue Valley Salmon Watch program, where we have a couple of activities that get kids outside in a riparian area along a river, where they get to explore it from a pollinator's point of view, looking at the flowers. So you put a stake in the ground, have a rope around it to give yourself a little 10-foot radius area to explore. Then you look at the flowers. You analyze the diversity and the number of flowers that you're seeing there, and kids get to critically think, okay, what is being fed here? Are pollinators being fed? Am I being fed here? Are any of these plants edible? We also have activities that connect kids to the specific plants that different pollinators will eat, or the specific flowers that certain pollinators kind of tend to go towards. So there's a lot of this background information that we are trying to bring kids up to speed with. Because usually you just see, okay, flower, bee food. But what more is there? There's a lot more. So we're trying to get kids excited about the depth of information that they can not only learn about, but observe.
And I'll just add to that. So I guess looking at the tiny little things and then the big things. So like we depend on microscopes a lot. So we can look at the seeds under the microscope. They're so beautiful. You can look at the bug parts and it's so beautiful or gross, depending on what it is. And then we can pull all the way out and, you know, design that garden with the kids to create a habitat for them to look at the plants at another time.
Well, I want to get to that garden because you mentioned math, and I want to figure out how does that get incorporated into these lessons. I'm talking with Christina Lefevre, president of the Pollinator Project, and Ethan Robinson, who is the Pollinator Pals Education Coordinator. So talk to me about the math.
Oh, dear, it's my least favorite subject. Well, we have the different science standards. You have different ways of looking at the ecosystem, the way that we need to look at creating the gardens. You know, are we going to, how many yards needs to go in that space? So trying to learn about that, measuring the feet and then calculating that out. How else are we using math? You talked about something else before.
Well, one of the first classes that I remember running with the Pollinator Project was at Armadillo Community Charter School over in Phoenix, where we got high school students involved in the statistics behind an ecosystem. And we couldn't really take them out to a riparian area or take them out to a community garden. So instead, we just brought ice cube trays, and I have a box in the office just labeled various beans, and each of those beans represented a different plant species. Then we randomized that by shaking the jar up, pouring it into the ice cube tray, and then had those students look at how many of each kind of flower or bean was in each little ice cube tray slot and analyze the statistics behind that. And then we had them discuss as groups, okay, why were some of your beans different? What, imagine that this is a Oregon grape flower, and this is a yarrow. What kind of different ecosystems might we find these in? And then we kind of took these kids through a tour of native, pollinator-friendly, and ecologically important plants, And they got to get familiar with their ecosystem just right in the classroom and write a little report on, you know, the favorite plant that they learned about that day.
So, Ethan, what's your background? What drew you to this project?
Well, I taught theater in high school, actually. I taught improv for elementary school students. And after moving up here from Reno, I really wanted to connect that part of my background, that elementary education, to my passion for the environment. Because I love all those weird bug facts. I love all the interesting plants and all the weird, you know, rain shadow effects and funky ecosystem things. So I have such a passion for that, and I want to share that enthusiasm. And working with kids is such a great way to do that, because they can see I care about this, and that gives them permission to care about it too.
Mm-hmm. I would like to second that. And, you know, I think one of the great things about Pollinator Project Rogue Valley, the Pollinator Pals, obviously, is we have a lot of creative people that really are interested in this topic. Ethan brings a lot of enthusiasm and creativity and more to the program, but we also have the education committee. We have the rest of our team who makes this happen, and we love to come up with ideas and figure it out. So I don't know, is this a good time? Do you want to like just say a shout out to the education committee, because they really are supportive of they're the ones that help.
Oh, they put up with so much of my random talking and rants about my favorite bugs of the week. So we got Sarah Enriquez, we got Hannah Borgerson, we got Izzy and Maddie from the BLM, and they are Forest Service.
Yes.
So they give us so much experience in education and in ecology, and we're always looking to add more people to that conversation, because the more mm-hmm. people we have helping to build these lessons and provide their input on how to improve the education we're providing, the better it'll be. So it's been wonderful to work with the teachers and all the people in the Rogue Valley.
Well, it sounds like you're paving the path for interest and engagement mm-hmm. of the next generation of
yes.
climate scientists.
Oh, well, I love that too. Yes, that is something that I really want to get into more about the climate and how it's changing, which is impacting not only people, but also pollinators and other creatures. So that's, you know, that's not going to happen overnight, because that's a big topic.
It is indeed. Tell me about the data, the boring data. You reach how many kids? You have how many different school districts that you're involved with?
Well, just in the past, it was January to March or June, we reached almost 2,000 students here in the Rogue Valley. We taught 21 classes, participated in 18 different events. We're all over the place. It's really, we're busy all the time, and it's wonderful. Just coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be at the Talent Harvest Festival. We have a class at the Jacksonville Library next week on the 25th. We have, what else? Oh, it's the Salmon Festival. We're going to be there. There's so much engagement in the community, and we get to approach it from so many different angles. So we have all those events, but then we also are going to be building pollinator gardens for Phoenix Elementary, Orchard Hill, Talent Elementary. We're going to be building a pollinator garden for the Farm Bus Bistro. We're going to be contributing to a community garden at Blue Heron Park. We're creating not just this curriculum for teachers to use and for us to present to students, but we're also creating physical education resources that a student can go outside, look up at a plant, and see a monarch caterpillar or an American lady caterpillar, and watch it grow and watch it be a part of the ecosystem.
So how can people learn more?
Oh, yes, I didn't answer that. Go to our website, please. We have our work, and then underneath that is Pollinator Pals page, and then you can learn more about the program. And then if you go to the donate page, then you can make a contribution. You can also volunteer.
And we'll put links to your website.
That's awesome.
At jeffexchange.org. Thank you, Christina Lefevre.
Yes.
And thank you, Ethan Robinson.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My guests are both with the Pollinator Project of the Rogue Valley.